Welcome to Inspiring Women with ADHD. I am Renee Allen, the host of this podcast, and I so appreciate that you're here today. I'm happy that I'm here too, but even more so that you are here listening. Thank you for that. Today, I'm so excited. Today is the last of my little series on positive mindset practices for ADHD, part five. I said when I started that it would be five parts because I had this plan. And I heard this little joke the other day about, you know, like it's an ongoing joke for people with ADHD. I don't know if it's true because I just heard it for the first time today, but it was something like, oh, okay. First of all, I can't remember jokes very well. Of course, I didn't write it down. I'm just thinking of this right now. But it was something about people with ADHD have, I don't know, hundreds of things that you could look around and see that are 80% done, something like that. I know I'm butchering this, but basically, it's really easy for us to start something and not finish it. And for this, of course, I still wanted to come and record the podcast. But after about three episodes, I thought, oh, I want to talk about something else. Oh, I want to talk about something else. And it wasn't that I didn't want to finish. I just wanted to do something else now. I wanted to save that for later and felt kind of locked in. Like, I want to do this instead, you know, kind of like I had to start something and I needed to finish it because I told you I was going to do that. And it wouldn't look very consistent to have one, two, three, four, and then a whole bunch of other episodes, and then someday five. So here I am with part five of the positive mindset practices for ADHD. And if you listen to any of the other ones, they are things that you may have thought of before, and they are interrelated. But the first one was to let go of expectations of ideas of a certain way that we want to be or hope we can be. And it doesn't mean that we can't become who we want to be, but if we hold on to something so tight that we're expecting it to happen, we can be disappointed. We can be disappointed because things don't always turn out the way that we want. And sometimes they go better than we want, but it's just having a different mindset of expectations not being there. I'm not going to be happy unless it turns out this way, or I want this to happen. And going in with, well, curiosity is actually another one of the five. But embracing differences, seeing that we may be different than others, that we may be different than we used to be, accepting ourselves, that kind of thing. Number three, approaching with curiosity. So you can see how these are all intertwined. And then number four, gratitude. Gratitude. How having the mindset of gratitude can help our brains, our emotional system, the regulation in the nervous system, and just having that calmness. And that's kind of where number five is, part five is more with the stress in the body. A lot of times we think of stress, life can be stressful, stressful things can happen, and we're at the mercy of that. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes we have no idea what's going to happen, and something can happen that can be really hard and shocking to the system. But there are a lot of stresses that come into our lives that we can avoid or put up a barrier to. And if you think of having a shield, you know, that shield protects you, whatever it is. You could shut a door and that keeps the heat from coming in your house. If you've got air conditioning on, that's a barrier and that keeps from that from coming in. And I think of a beekeeper. A beekeeper goes into a space with bees, and that could be really dangerous, whether or not you're allergic to bees, especially if you're allergic to bees, but even if you're not, that could be very dangerous to be in an environment with hundreds and hundreds of bees. I don't know how many bees, maybe thousands. I don't know. But a beekeeper wears a hood, wears a net over his or her face, wears an outfit that protects the hands, the arms, the everything. And whether or not the bees are there, and they are there, the person is protected by that shield, that whole beekeeper costume, if you want to call it a costume, the whole beekeeper, what do you call it? Not an outfit, not a costume, uniform, I don't know. But anyway, that's how it can be with stress, is you can be in an environment. It could be your home. It could be your workplace. It could be in your car out in traffic. It could be in a loud restaurant. It could be with a TV on that you're walking by in an airport and there's news coming at you. And you can be drawn into that, or you can kind of put up your shield. I don't want to pay attention to that right now. And you can either do that with what you direct your attention to. You can even just turn things off. So if you've got settings on your phone that brings you news, you can make those settings change or not bring up those apps that may bring you things that you just don't want to hear about. And I know some people think, well, we don't need to hide from the world. No, we don't. But there is way more coming in at us than the human body, the human nervous system can manage healthily. So you can play a role in helping protect your body, protect your nervous system, protect your being from the stress that comes in. And even if you have somebody, let's say, that's angry at you. Have you ever had somebody, and usually for me, it's a stranger. I'll give you an example. This is several years ago. My son that I'm talking about is now 21. But when he was playing soccer, probably middle school age, he was on a traveling team one year. And I rode with a friend, or I drove a friend and my son and her son about an hour away through the mountains to go to a soccer game. And now that I know I have ADHD, some of this makes sense better than it did then. But I received an email from the soccer coach that said, we're going to this field. The parking situation is blah, 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 blah. And there were a couple paragraphs. And I saw that it said it was at a winery, that the soccer park was next to a winery, and something about the parking. And here are the directions, and here's the address. And I don't know if you're like this, but this is kind of a focus problem or an attention problem. But when I see an email, especially if I see it on my phone, I pick up some of the information. I miss a lot of it. But even emails I see on the computer, I tend to miss parts of it, important parts. And even when I used to get notes home from the teacher, if I even knew where the note went, I could still read it and miss parts of it. Not that I don't know how to read, not that I don't know how to comprehend. I just don't pay attention to the whole thing. So I do remember getting the email. I have no idea if I read it on my phone or the computer, but I remember as much as getting the address to be able to drive to it, knew how far away it was, and knew that it was. So we get there, and we're a little pressed for time. By the time we get to the parking lot, it's time for the boys to get out, grab their shoes, you know, their cleats, and run to the team. And we drive into it, and it looks more like a winery. And I think, is the soccer field even here? And we drive up this little hill, and I just see some trees. And I notice that the parking lot isn't very big, but on the other side of the parking lot, there's a huge soccer field. And there's a barn for a winery, kind of like they're going to have weddings there. So I thought, I don't know if we're supposed to park here. In fact, we probably aren't supposed to park here because it doesn't look very big. But you boys get out, and we'll drive back down this little driveway and drive around where that soccer field is and see if we can figure out where to park. So we're starting to tell the boys, go ahead and get out. And this woman comes up to the car from the building. So I roll down the window, and the woman says, you're not supposed to drop off your kids for soccer here. And I said, oh, I'm really sorry. I had the address. I wasn't sure where we were going, and I was just going to drop them off. But, you know, they're late. I was just going to let them off here. We'll go park somewhere else. I can see we're not supposed to park here. And she said, you're not supposed to drive up here. And she just kept yelling and yelling at us. And I know some people exaggerate and say, that person was yelling, but she was yelling. She was yelling. She was emphatically stating this and that. And so this other woman, Susanna, and I were sitting there saying, well, we're really sorry. And I said, I just didn't know. I've never been here before. I didn't mean to drive up here. We can't have people, you know, this is her. We can't have people driving up here all the time. You know, this is a winery. This is an event space. And I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do this. I'm from out of town. And she said, well, there's a sign right there as you pull in that says no soccer drop-off, no soccer parking. And I said, I didn't see the sign. I just drove up the hill. If I would have seen the sign, I would have turned around. I'm very sorry. And meanwhile, I think by then our boys were getting out and running. But I kept trying to reason with this woman and realized that there was no reasoning with this woman. There was no hope of reasoning with this woman. And so I just said, okay, I just basically just rolled up the window on her while she was talking and turned around because I couldn't get her to stop being mad at me. It wasn't going anywhere. And as we drove away, Susanna, who was actually a pretty new friend, I don't think we'd ever met before then. A mutual friend had said, I think you would really like Susanna. She needs a ride to the soccer game. Her son's on your son's team. Can you give her a ride? And I said, sure. So we got to know each other in that hour. But she said to me, how on earth did you stay so calm when she was yelling at you? And I thought, I guess I just knew that she was highly stressed and I didn't want that stress to affect me. And I also had the silly idea that if I communicated to her that it was an innocent mistake, that her level would come back down. And I started realizing that wasn't going to happen. But instead of reacting to her, I had that shield up like I was the beekeeper and kept her stress from me. And once I realized our conversation isn't changing her, it's not helping us in any way, I just need to leave. Then I just left. And she was up in the air, you know, with her arms and stuff as we drove away. But I've thought of that because there have been other situations where people get really upset. And I think especially since I started teaching yoga and I've learned how your shoulders can relax manually. I didn't used to know that. I didn't know that if my back hurt, that I was probably tensing up and my shoulders were coming up as a result of it. And I had a friend who was a massage therapist. And one day she said, you know, why don't you lay down? Our girls run gymnastics together. She said, why don't you lay down? I'll see if I can work that kink out. And she said, relax your shoulders. And I said, okay. And then she said, relax your shoulders. And I said, okay. And I thought I was. I wasn't at all, at all. She kept saying, you don't know how to relax your muscles, do you? And I said, no. But since I've done yoga, I can see the difference in people who are tight and watch them relax and see it in their faces, see it in their eyes. And it's made me notice, because I start noticing myself how to do that, that when I am upset about something, and I do get upset sometimes, not really at people, but more, you know, stressed about situations, finances. And when I am, I start to notice that my shoulders are going up higher. They're not only going up higher, but they're going up toward my neck. And then my neck is coming in. And then my face is feeling more tense. And so if I relax my shoulders, relax kind of like my shoulders down lower from my ears, kind of relax in my mouth, my jaw, my cheeks, you know, just that kind of feeling of, that even if I still in my mind am thinking about the worrisome thoughts, just that reaction in my body can help the nervous system calm down so that my mind calms down. It happens in reverse, which is super cool to realize that. So you can manage stress by not inviting as much in or not welcoming as much in or blocking as much out as you can or want to. You know, there may be some that you think, bring it on. I need to know this. I need to support this friend. I need to support my child. I'm going to take care of this. You know, there are some times that we want to know. We are okay with knowing or It's just a part of life. But there are other times that maybe someone's telling you something horrible that happened and you have heard too many horrible things lately. It's okay to let them know, I really can't hear about this right now. I really can't. You know, I know you need to talk about it, but I have a lot going on right now. And I just like to talk about something more positive right now. Or if they're sending you a text that has that you, or a video, or I don't know if you do any video chats, you can kind of scroll down, you know, you can kind of swipe past if you need to. And if you need to protect yourself and your own well-being, you can do that. And that can help your whole mindset about everything. Because if you're around somebody who's super upset, if you look at them, well, maybe not children, they probably don't show it in their bodies, it's the same. But I was with an irate manager at a car dealership once. It's a long story. But I was so amused. I don't know if amused is a good word. That makes it sound like I'm making fun of him. So it's a long story, but the short part of it is our car was taken to this dealership from a place that was fixing our car. And the dealership sent it back to the place that was fixing it, and they did something wrong. The dealership did something wrong. And so it had to be towed back to the dealership, and the dealership wanted to charge us for it. And we said, nope, nope, nope. My husband told you not to do it that way. My husband knows how to fix cars. And it's not our fault, it's your fault. So we told him that, which was true. And so he said to me, well, I think the auto repair place, we're going to make them pay for it. And I don't know what it was supposed to be, $200 or something. And I thought, you better not, because that man is so nice. And I know it wasn't his fault. But anyway, so when he called the other man at the car repair place, he refused also. So when I drove to this car dealership to pick up my new key and my car and saw this man who was super upset because his mistake, which he wouldn't admit, caused this error to happen, and he was having to pay for it, which really it was just his employees did the work and we weren't paying him for it. But he was so irate. And as I talked to him, he was throwing all of his anger at that car repair place, even though I knew he was wrong. But I just stood there and went, you know, I wasn't agreeing with him, but I was just letting him talk and was observing that for probably the 20 minutes I was there, his shoulders were up to his ears and his mouth was coming in so tight because he was so mad. And I thought, you are so stressed right now. You should look in the mirror and calm down. But I didn't say that. I just wanted to get my car keys in my car and get out of there. And he said, make me a promise that you'll never go to that auto repair place again. And I thought, yeah, I don't think I'm making you that promise. I just kind of looked at him. Thank you. But he didn't know how to shield himself from the stress. He didn't know how to reduce it. He didn't know how to help himself manage an experience that was, yeah, disappointing. And money comes and money goes, and it's no fun when it goes. But yeah, if you can help yourself not have that happen to your body, you'll be in a lot better shape. And even though we're talking about, or I'm talking about mindsets, all of this stress can affect your mindset and your mind awareness. Noticing what your mind is doing is key to all of that, is to notice, is this stress? Is this something that's affecting my body? Is this something that's not feeling great, that's just feeling like too much? Is this like someone's throwing rocks or piling rocks in my backpack and eventually I'm going to fall over? You know that if you're carrying a backpack, at some point, if someone keeps adding weight, you are not going to be able to hold it anymore. And it's the same with the stress that comes into our lives. And so noticing that, noticing what's too much, what causes you to not be as capable during the day, what causes you to not function as well. We already have a disadvantage with dysfunctional executive dysfunction, with a brain that can't remember the words executive dysfunction. We already have that disadvantage. So let's give ourselves a little more help there to just pay attention to your body, to pay attention to your shoulders, your mouth, your hands will clench up. Anything that makes you more nervous or something, notice that and back up from it a little bit, or put up your little barrier if you can, whether you have to stay with that person and kind of tune them out or do something to help you not absorb it. And it's all just part of being mindful of ourselves as a being instead of just what we experience or just how our body feels. And that's one thing I say sometimes in yoga is, you know, this is your opportunity. And it could be, you could have a different opportunity to do it. It doesn't have to be a yoga class, but you could be taking a bath or laying out in the sun if you like that. And I know, you know, wear sunscreen, stuff like that. But I love laying out in the sun. I think it feels calming and stuff. But, you know, whatever it is that you're, oh, this is nice to just sit at the beach or go for a walk or something. And in those moments, a lot of times the mind is still busy. And even though we're experiencing something that is relaxing and calming, we're still going in the brain and still thinking. So if you notice that you're thinking, comparing, evaluating, all those things that we do in the middle of the night, worrying, being concerned, you know how those things go a little hyperdrive, things that wouldn't concern us as much or worry us as, you know, it just pop to your mind. And so your mind goes. And you switch from doing that, analyzing, planning, all those normal things that we're doing in our brains, and you just enjoy being in your body, and you just enjoy yourself as a human being, as a being, because that's what we essentially are. And we know that, we can sense that, because we can look in the mirror and see what we look like, but that's not really who we are. But we kind of feel like that's who we are, but it's not who we are. So it's really kind of interesting to think about, right? You know, I am not a brown-haired woman. I have brown hair. I am a woman, but you know what I'm saying. My being is the essence of me. I think that's how they say it. It's like a little mosquito or something, and it just went on the microphone. So I was touching it, and I don't know if you could hear me touching it. I don't know how sensitive the microphone is, but anyway, I apologize, and it just makes me laugh because I remember one of my son's teachers said, I know if there's a fly in the room. I think I mentioned this before. I know if there's a fly in the room that I've lost him. So that little gnat or whatever it was took my attention away, and I apologize. But anyway, that is the end of my Part 5 today. It is actually one that I could talk about for hours since, you know, I do that kind of thing in yoga. It's not like I talk about mindfulness all the time in yoga, but because of doing yoga and pausing that much every day and kind of comparing what I'm doing to real life, I see those parallels all the time, and how what I'm doing on my mat I could use during the day. Of just slowing down the breath a bit, noticing what's really going on, enjoying what's really going on, you know, just all those little things that can help us, And I wish there was a better way to say, you know, manage stress better, or stress relief, or block stress doesn't even sound good. I'm actually going to give a workshop at a gym where I teach yoga, and I was trying to think of a way to phrase the name of it to not have it be really long. And, you know, creating calm, which sounds very yoga-like, you know, stress management. But stress management sounds like you're in a business, so that wasn't my favorite. Or stress relief secrets, awareness, breath and movement, you know, which I had movement because in yoga, you know, you kind of move the body and feel what it feels like and do it with your breath. But you can do that in life too. You can go for a walk and just kind of enjoy the movement of your body. You can enjoy climbing into bed, you know, all those little things. Anything you can do to take care of yourself and enjoy who you are will also help you have a more positive mindset, because you're going to feel better about yourself and you're going to cherish that you get to be this person that you are and that you get to experience it because no one else gets to. Isn't that amazing that you get to be the one that gets to be you? I think it's great. I think that's going to be it for now. My son wants this room back. He walked in at one point. I don't know if you could hear him, but he's actually going to fly to college in 2 days. Tomorrow we're going to Disney World, and then we'll take him to the airport the next day, and he'll go away back to college, and I'll have this room back to be able to get in and record whenever I want. Which is fun because, you know, I'm not very structured, so it's nice not to just have to wait until he's not in here. but at the same time, I've so appreciated him being here. And it's not like he's been in here the whole time. We've also had lots going on. I'm sure you understand that. But, you know, as we do with ADHD, some of us, we do love to share. So thanks for letting me share that. But thank you again for being here. And I think I've probably asked this favor before, but if you can tell even one person about my podcast that you think may enjoy listening to it, I would so appreciate it. I would so appreciate it because the more people I can connect, it will help me fulfill my dream to build this community of women with ADHD and be able to help anyone I can, or even just feel connected to anyone I can. But thank you so much for being here. Have a fantastic week. I'll be back probably Thursday. We shall see. You know me, I'm not going to commit exactly, but I'll probably be Thursday. So take care. Have a great week. Bye.
Open windows, broken shadows. Frozen dreams are left for tomorrow. Without a call. No time for a pause. Silence of sound has yet been found, but not by me.